Thanks a lot. We usually have time for questions and comments. If we do not have, probably what we can do, we can go to our last presentation for today and then have a coffee break at the end to discuss it informally.
Das ist die deutsche Fassung, nicht die englische.
Diesmal mache ich es ein bisschen schneller, auch für dich.
Professor Kleinsteiber already illustrated that we have very intensive and actual discussions about the shape of public service broadcasting. Is it really that good? Is it really, does it really correspond with the model that we have, with the ideal model of public service broadcasting, or are there actual deficits, which, as I understood him, and I would strongly agree, certainly are. It's not as state distant as the model that I presented this morning would suggest. There always are attempts to intervene from the governmental sector, and also we have some structural institutional measures to protect public service broadcasters from being steered or controlled or influenced by politicians. There always are cases where they are successful in that. The other problem is that also influences from the commercial side on public service broadcasters can be observed. It's not so idealistic, independent from commercial interests, as the model would suggest as well. There are also the market partners, the private companies, try to put through their commercial interests and to instrumentalize public service broadcasters for their interests. And another problem is that what we call self-commercialization, that public service broadcasters also are sometimes trying to put through some commercial interest, not directly by making money, but indirectly by, for instance, putting too strong emphasis, too strong regards on commercial subjects, commercial programming, or on market shares, which is a form of commercialization. If public service broadcasters only try to maximize market shares, of course that also leads to focusing on mainstream interests only, and indirectly it also leads to the consequence that public service broadcasters do not serve the minority interests anymore, which they should. Because if we have public service broadcasters that are funded by non-commercial revenues, then we can expect also that they use the money not for the same programs that commercial broadcasters offer, because otherwise we wouldn't need public service broadcasters. So both the remits, the program mission of public service broadcasters always needs to be controlled and also to be readjusted in the time being, and the resources of public service broadcasting. I talked about the resources this morning already very briefly, but I think we all agree that the resources are one of the key instruments for steering public service broadcasters in the dual order. If you have more resources for public service broadcasters compared to commercial broadcasters, of course, the importance and the contribution of public service broadcasting in the overall media system is stronger compared to a media system where public service broadcasters just are a minor element of the total media system, where public service broadcasters only have little resources. As far as I know, in Ukraine, for instance, public service broadcasting, if we would assume that state broadcasting would be independent, still would not have much influence at the share of overall resources compared to commercial broadcasters. Meanwhile, it's so small that even an ideal type of public service broadcaster who is not controlled by the state or by the government could not have the societal influence that we think is important for public service broadcasters as finally as a representative of the interests of the public. So this is why in Germany we have a very intensive debate, like in most countries with the dual media order, about the relative share of the revenues from public service broadcasters compared to the revenues for commercial broadcasters. And I call this task adjusting, as it always means that you have to compare what you think from a societal point of view, from a political point of view, is the best solution, and to compare it with the present actual solutions, both with regard to the program remits and the resources. This morning have presented already a theoretical model, which I now can deal with very briefly, which again enables us for such a fine-tuning, for such a readjustment of the relative position of public service broadcasters within the total media order. To understand the present solution and the present situation of public service broadcasting in Germany, I think I should say some words to the history of how public service broadcasters was developed in Germany. We have heard about that already, that it was created after the end of World War II, mainly by the Allied forces. And I think this explains a lot about also the present state of public service broadcasting in Germany. I would just say a few sentences about this too, and then would come to the key determinant, which I would say the revenue structures here, especially the amount of the license fee that public service broadcasters get in Germany. And again, one should say some sentences to the legal structures, especially here to the program remit of public service broadcasting, to make this picture complete. And again, some conclusion and prospects. The model we have seen this morning explain that there are different types of broadcasters, different with regard to the relative influence from state, market, and civil society, and that it is possible to locate the actual existing public service broadcasters in this model. And the fine adjustment I also have mentioned this morning can be done on two dimensions, the distance from the state or distance from the government on the one hand, and the distance from the commercial side or from the market on the other hand. And if we shift, for instance, public service broadcasters, we indirectly also shift the overall system. If we strengthen public service broadcasters that are nearer the civil society sector, of course, we indirectly strengthen the overall broadcasting order of the country, as long as we do not change the position of the commercial broadcasters. The other thing is that we also can change the position of the commercial broadcasters. If, for instance, in some countries like China, that's truly the case, commercial broadcasters are influenced by the government, then they are torn to the state sector, and that, of course, has effects for the overall influence of the state on the media. So there are different ways to for fine-tuning a media system, and usually both the commercial volume, so to say, of the commercial sector and the public service sector are fine-tuned at the same time. So it's a simultaneous shifting as a result of political influences and political forces that always leads to minor changes of the overall system, overall media system of a country. That's the same in Germany. It was mentioned already, just to say some sentences about the history of German media order, that after World War II, like the public administration in general, also the administration of broadcasting was reestablished by the Allied forces, and that according to the political views of the Allied forces, the reestablishment of broadcasting in Germany should be decentralized just to avoid too strong central political power, which could be abused, as we have seen in the German history. It should be independent from the government, and that also has been mentioned already, it also should represent some elements of the Allied forces' own broadcasting system. So the decentral order is reflected in the American part of Germany, where the USA was engaged in reestablishing broadcasting, whereas in the French sector, it was, like in France, a more central organization, and in the English sector, of course, we heard that already, much of the BBC structure can be found when broadcasting was re-established in Germany. This was not the first, but the second stage of local organization of the German public service broadcasting structure. In the north, we had Norddeutscher Rundfunk, the North German Broadcasting Corporation. In the beginning, that was mentioned already, it was the Nordwestdeutscher Rundfunk, and later it was split in Norddeutscher Rundfunk, NDR, and WDR. Then we had in the state of, or in the city of Bremen, we had Radio Bremen, RB. We had the Hessische Rundfunk, Südwestdeutscher Rundfunk, and Bayerischer Rundfunk. So it was a decentralized organization of public service broadcasting, and we had Senderfreies Berlin, which was in the western part of Berlin. And with this structure that was altered gradually in the following years, the public service broadcasters became very influential. Interesting, I do not mention all these steps here. They are not really important for the story how a dual order was developed in Germany. Interesting is, however, that already in the 1960s, at the beginning of the 1960s, Christian Democrats in Germany planned a first commercial broadcaster that was run by the publishing houses. Christian Democrats believe that the counterweight for the public service broadcasters, a commercial broadcaster run by the publishing houses, should be established, but it was not allowed by the Supreme Court for several reasons, so that instead of that, in 1961, the Central Public Service Broadcasters, ZDF, was established. I think we heard about that too already. And then the discussion about if commercial broadcasters should be established decreased for a while and only came up at the end of the 70s again, also because technical changes allowed more stations. In the beginning, you know, we only had terrestrial broadcasting where only four or five stations were possible technically, but then at the beginning of the 80s, the cables and the satellites allowed more stations, and then the question was raised again, should we have commercial broadcasters too? And after a longer discussion in 1984, actually the first commercial TV broadcasters went on air. That was the beginning, was the end of the public service broadcasting monopoly in Germany, and was the beginning of the, what we called a dual order then. The dual order means the coexistence of public service broadcasters who were first in Germany and the commercial broadcasters who then only started. And once they were allowed in Germany, they rather exploded. The number of commercial broadcasters grew very fast, and the market shares of the commercial broadcasters also grew very fast. But still, it took a long time until they reached the break-even point. In the first year, it was an investment. They didn't make money. It took a while, to the beginning of the 90s, before the commercial broadcasters made profit. Here is a table of the market shares of the most important broadcasters in Germany. We cannot go through that here. You can find it in the internet also. It shows that when you start here in the 1954 with RRD and then with ZDF in 1963, it was a complete public service broadcasting monopoly with strong high market shares of these two stations and later of the third programs of the RRD, which are local stations. But that then when RTL as the first commercial broadcaster started in 1985, the market share of the commercial broadcasters increased very fast. In the first year, it was 0.4% market share for RTL only, but in 1989, 5 or 4 years later, it was 10% already. So that you can see from that that there was a demand for commercial broadcasters also, and that in the beginning, the market shares of public service broadcasters went down because public service commercial broadcasters were allowed to go on air. But then there was a backswing after a while, let's say in the end of the 90s or in the middle of the 90s, the expansion of commercial broadcasters stopped, and even regrowth of some market shares of public service broadcasters can be observed in Germany, which goes back to reasons I would like to talk about later. What is important too is that in 1991, the East Germany and West Germany was, when after unification, in Eastern Germany also public service broadcasting was established according to the same model and the same laws that we had in the western part of Germany, and that by this unification also the number of households and of license fee payers raised enormously. And this is a first link to the effects that come from the revenues from public service broadcasters that are involved, because after unification, within one logical second, we had about 20% more revenues for public service broadcasters again. The federal structure was transposed to the eastern part too, although the number of public service broadcasters in the eastern part is much smaller than the number of states in eastern Germany. That also was, an experience from the western part, that it maybe is too expensive to have a public service broadcaster for each and every state. So two or three states in the eastern part of Germany only had one public service broadcaster. So this is the final structure of public service broadcasting then. It's decentral, but it's not the same number of public service broadcasters as we have number of states. We have 16 states, but we have 11 or 10 public service broadcasters. And in the course of time, that also was changed a little. So this is the state practically still today. On the one side, public service broadcasters, decentralized. On the other side, commercial broadcasters. And from the revenues, it's almost 50% revenues for public service broadcasting and for commercial broadcasting. We have revenues, I come to statistics later, now of about 7.5 billion public service broadcasters license fee, and about the same amount commercial broadcasters make in Germany from advertisement, sponsoring, and other types of market revenues. What is interesting, finally, and should be mentioned, is that the European Commission got more and more involved in the national media politics during or after the unification and harmonization of Europe. The European Commission regarded and still regards broadcasting not only as a cultural good, but also as an economic good, and for which it also is. You can make a lot of money with broadcasting programs, so it also is an economic good. And the responsibility and competence to regulate trade for economic goods partly is with the European Commission, and that made the European Commission to intensify its attempts to regulate the national media politics in the member states, which, among others, also meant for Germany that the questions the legitimacy of the license fee as a funding means. I mentioned already that state aid is something that in general is not allowed for the European Commission, and the European Commission said the license fee is a state aid, so it's not allowed anymore. You have to abolish it. But then the discussion was intensified, and the member states said they have their own rights how to construct the media politics. Also, the legal system was diversified, and there were some criteria introduced that describe when state aid is possible. So finally, there was agreement between the European Commission and the German legislature or German government that the license fee still is allowed as a means for the public service broadcasters if certain preconditions are fulfilled, and these conditions mainly are that there must be an obvious and controllable definition of the public broadcaster's program remit, and that there must be a board that controls that this program remit really is observed by public service broadcasters. last year, this control of the program remit has been even more intensified and operationalized by what we call a three-step test. This is a test by which the boards or councils of the public service broadcasters control if the online services of public service broadcasters really fulfill the program remit. So the public service broadcasters cannot put anything in the internet, cannot offer all online services anymore, but the control boards must check if the offers in the internet, public service offers, really fit with the program mission. The first reason to introduce this new instrument was that the commercial broadcasters and also the publishing houses were very critical about public service broadcasters in the internet, as their private chances to make money in the internet was reduced by the free offer of public service broadcasters. And the second reason is that in the long run, this model of the three-step test for the online services may be transposed to the linear programming of public service broadcasters, because some people, some politicians and some groups in society felt that public service broadcasters do a lot of programming that is not really public service broadcasters' mission or remit, but should only be done by commercial broadcasters. To really control this split of programming, it needs a more operationalizable and controllable definition of what is allowed to public service broadcasters. We have that now in Germany for the online services, but I believe in the long run this model also will be transposed to all linear offers, which makes it easier then to balance out the dual order, not only with regard to money or resources, but also with the program remit. Just a few words to the revenue structures. I also have in general mentioned what kind of revenues the three sectors provide. The most important revenue for the public service broadcasters is the license fee. And the license fee, here we have some figures, was exploding, I would say, very strongly in the beginning of the history of public service broadcasting in Germany. The brown function here at the top shows in a logarithmic scale the explosion of the license fee revenues. The reason that the license fee exploded so much is not that the amount of the license fee each household has to pay has been raised, but that the number of households in the beginning raised so much. In 1953, maybe we had 10,000 households that had a license, receiving set for radio or television. But very fast, the proportion of households that had a receiving set raised, and in consequence also the revenues from the license fee exploded, maybe until the end of the 80s. And then we had here another stronger increase at the beginning of the 90s, which I mentioned already is due to the unification of Germany, where all Eastern German households became license fee payers. Now, as all households have license receiving sets, increases of the license fee are not possible anymore by increasing the number of households, but only by increasing the amount of the license fee each household has to pay. And this also has become more complicated, politically, as the willingness to pay for public service broadcasters is decreasing too. And even the number of households who would say they don't have a receiving set, although they have one, is increasing. So public service broadcasters in Germany are facing a complicated situation, as both the number of households that have a license fee, receiving set, is going to go down slowly, and the number, the proportion of households that say they do not even have a receiving set also is going up. Actually, in real figures, the revenues for public service broadcasters are going down already. If we say we have 2% price index increase each year, and the increase of the revenues is only 1%, we have factually already decreasing revenues for public service broadcasters. The other problem is that the receiving sets now become hybrid and are mobile, and it's so complicated to determine what is a receiving set for which one has to pay the license fee, and it also has become more complicated to control if all people that have a receiving set can be a notebook, can be a handy, whatever, you can receive programs, audio and audiovisual programs, by a lot of different receiving sets. That makes it so complicated to yield a license fee. And that's the reason why in Germany, only, I think, 2 weeks ago, the politicians have decided to change the license fee that is depending on the possession of a receiving set, and instead to introduce a fee or a contribution every household has to pay independently from the question if he has a receiving set or not. That makes it easier for public service broadcasters to yield the revenues, and it also makes it not necessary anymore to really go into the households to control if they have a receiving set, which is something that we don't like in Germany because it's considered as a private thing, and we don't want people to come into our households to control if we on what kind of receiving sets we have. So finally, I think that for public service broadcasting was a good decision, because otherwise we could have forecast that the revenues would deteriorate, and then of course if the revenues for commercial broadcasters would still grow, the relative importance of public service broadcasting compared to commercial broadcasting would have gone down. So I think I stop here. I have here tried to distinguish between different phases of time, with the golden ages at the beginning and the silver times, and then the bronze time and the final times are really would have been black times for public service broadcasts. And we don't have to go into detail here. If you have questions that regard the license fee, I think we can maybe talk about that in the discussion. Thank you.